Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Hi, I'm Jerry Goodspeed. I'm here at the Utah State University Extension Education Building at the Ogden Botanical Garden. And today I'm here to talk about a problem that we're seeing, an invasive species that is moving into our area and becoming more and more of a problem to homeowners and to landscapes. And that problem is the garden gnome. Now, the gnome, we believe, was introduced into our area from England. They're very attractive at first, a little bit of a cheery smile, if you will, but over time they become very invasive into the garden. You'll find them creeping up, or showing up in the herb garden, next thing in the vegetable garden, and pretty soon in the annuals and the perennials. And once established, they're very difficult to control. Here in the garden, in mid-February, and in Ogden, we're about a zone 5, a zone 4, and you can already see their cheery little red hats starting to poke through the ground. Now, this is very typical of our area. They're first, usually about the end of January, 1st of February, you will start to see this red cone just after they have germinated. Now, they're very hardy, and this is why we see them germinating so early in the spring or late winter.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes since 1997. Podcasts of this program, along with green tips, valuable links, and DeMaio weather, are a click away at MikeNovak.net. That's MikeNovak.net. Here he is. He's not the harbinger of spring. He's actually the doormat for the season. Mike Novak.
Are we all twittered up?
No.
We're not?
No, not yet. It's prompting me for your email. It's being difficult.
Why do we have so much trouble getting on Twitter here?
I don't know. It makes it worth it, I guess.
No,
it
doesn't.
It's a fight to the finish.
That's what it is. You don't have the same trouble with Facebook, do you?
Not at all.
I know, because you're the Facebook lady.
I don't know. It's just the computer seems to be more accepting of Facebook.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
So what's it not telling us? What? Okay. There's my ID, password, type in, sign in, wrong user. And how often does it do that?
I don't know. I'm not Twitter savvy.
Well, no. But you try to get that in each week. You weren't here last week because Antonio was. But you've got the right username. That's the right username. I can't tell what you're doing in the password. Ah, give me a break. And all right, I'm going to write down the password. This is what you're typing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me try again.
All right. Hey! what's life in radio like without a glitch?
I wish we had the, what was it, Get Smart theme playing during that. That would have been
da,
cool.
Da,
yeah.
Da,
I used to think all those doors were awesome that he walked through.
Da. That's the problem. I know by heart too many themes from the 60s.
That is not a bad thing. I beg to differ. That's a good thing.
Da, 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 da. Now type the word. At least it's given you... You have to prove your humanness now.
Yes.
It says humanness.
It needs a drop of blood and a thumbprint.
That's right.
And an eye retina scan.
And breathalyzer. And it will.
Yeah, no!
No! Did you keep trying? We're getting closer. Who cares?
People are on Twitter laughing at me.
Lots going on today, as always, on a Sunday morning. Hey, did you see that by midweek we may have like 70s and maybe flirt with an 80? I can't wait to talk to Rick DeMaio about that.
Oh, wow. He'll be like the most popular guy on the radio today, next to you, of course, if he's going to bring us 80-degree weather.
He's not even close to me, okay? except Twitter doesn't like me.
I'm gonna try all over again.
Just go back to the beginning.
But what are we talking about today? What are we doing? Spring has sprung on the mic. I do care.
You do not care.
I thought of you yesterday, actually.
Why?
I spent 5 hours with my son at the zoo, and I noticed that a lot of the trees that for different exhibits that they had, they planted trees and plants that were from those areas that the animals were from, and they have tagged a bunch of trees there, and you can actually go and do a tree scavenger hunt.
Really?
Yes.
How cool
is
that?
And it was really cool. I mean, and they had, like, gorgeous palm trees
and
pine trees.
And this is which zoo?
Brookfield.
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 The big one.
Yeah. I'm a member there, so I take my son often.
Uh-huh.
And it was very cool to see all, like, they planted this whole new nature trail, and they have a pond, and you can walk around it, and it's got swans and geese, and it was just stunning.
And do you point things out and say, "See, William, it's bad to cage animals."
Right, I do. I do. I always say to him, like, when I see this majestic creature just laying there completely unhappy, and it just breaks my heart each time. And I was just like, the zoo does make mommy kind of sad,
Oh, boy.
It does.
Talk about giving the kid mixed messages.
I know. No, yeah. I'm like, I don't say it in a way to bring the kid down. But
I went to the zoo, and I grew up in Detroit, so we went to the Detroit Zoo, which was actually in Royal Oak, but don't ask me why. Of course, they don't call it the Chicago Zoo. They call it the Brookfield Zoo because it is in Brookfield. But the reason I wanted to go, because they had a zoo train. And you could ride the train.
That's cool.
The little zoo train around. I mean, it went around the whole park. It's still there. That's like was the best part of the zoo.
Right.
Animals?
Yeah.
Give me the train.
Yeah.
Now I say that Amtrak Tim is going to call.
It's like ding, ding, ding.
He'll talk about zoo trains. Amtrak Tim, I don't have time for you this morning because we got to get some work here. I've got the Dr. Linda Chalker Scott on the program to start. She's written a new book, which is down here. Great new book, Sustainable Landscapes and Gardens, Good Science, Practical Application. In fact, forget Twitter. We'll try to get back to that. Let's
All
get
right.
Dr. Chalker Scott on the program. It sounds kind of cut and dry. It's not. She's a really, really interesting woman, and I've talked to her before back in my former life at Gargantua Radio, and I'll tell you why she's interesting when we get her on, because she's just fascinating. And in the second hour, and I see there was a package for me. Where's that big package? I love it when people leave gifts from the Seed Keeper Company, and it's my little Seed Keeper box. Isn't that sweet? And that is because Carrie Rosenthal and Carol Neek, I hope I pronounce that right. She's going to have to let me know. From the Seed Keeper Company are on, and they're going to talk about their little Seed Keeper box. It helps you keep track of stuff. Then finally, at the end of the big production here today, Jack Pizzo from Pizzo & Associates, ecological restorationist extraordinaire. This guy knows his stuff, and I'm real happy to have him on the show again. You've heard his adverts on WCPT, Pizzo and Associates, www.pizzo.info. And we will talk a little bit about science with him as well. I hope you stick around for all of it. And the goal is to try to give away something today, Heather. Are we going to try to do that?
We have a book to give away.
We've got other stuff, too. We've got all kinds of stuff to give away. So we should do what we can. And I want to just call to your attention, there's other things I'm going to talk about, but on my home site, mikenowak.net, MikeNowak.net, look at the picture that is up there on the home site about halfway down. I think you need to scroll down.
Do you dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Ow! She says, referring to the Honorable Richard M. Daley, my picture is on there. I
helped judge the Garden Awards, City of Chicago Garden Awards last fall. And there's my picture. They finally sent it to me with, the two of us holding each, gritting our teeth and trying to smile.
What are you holding? What is that? A basket?
It's a composter you put in your kitchen, compost pail, and then you put all your veggies and stuff in it, and then you dump it, in the compost pile.
See, I need something like that.
That is so cool. It's great, and it's got a little charcoal filter in it, and it doesn't smell. Great.
I wanted to do, when we had the worm lady on, I wanted to do a worm bucket, but I just don't have the space under my sink.
Yes, you do. We'll talk about that
okay.
later. But first, let us... go to line one, and as I do that, I have to play this. And Dr. Linda Chalker-Scott, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Mike?
Great. And the reason I play this is because you are the science lady. and as such, you know, I have to play this. Isn't that what you do to people?
Well, I hope so.
Now, do you want me to call you Doc, or do you want me to call you Linda?
Oh, just call me Linda.
Okay. Linda has, and I have talked before, but I feel like it was in another life, because it was a while ago, and I'm looking, the book is right here, it's right in front of me, I'm looking for it, and it's right in front of me. If it had been a snake, it would have bit me. We talked because you had, when we first talked, you didn't have the blog site up. And if you go to MikeNovak.net, this week's show, I have a link to her blog, which is called The Garden Professors. And what I like about it, it's all of you, you've dragged more people into your world, which is you love to debunk myths. Horticultural myths. I mean, it's among the things you do, obviously, because you started with this website called Horticultural Myths, and that's how I first heard about you several years ago and why we talked. And now you've brought other people into the fold, including Jeff Gilman out of the University of Minnesota, who I've been meaning to have on my show for about 2 years now, and hasn't happened. That's not why you're on the program, but I wanted to call people's attention to that. If you really want to be entertained, go to either one of those sites, and you'll get sucked in for a long, long time. And I love the stuff you talk about, Linda, there. You've written a new book called Sustainable Landscapes and Gardens, Good Science, Practical Application. Sounds kind of cut and dry, but it's really a fascinating book because one of the things you're trying to do is teach people the scientific method. Can that be done with the average gardener, Linda?
Well, I think so. And the reason I included that chapter in there was I've given a talk like that to master gardeners for some time, and I had one master gardener come up who had graduated from college but in a completely different type of degree, and she said, you know, in all the 4 years of college, I never had anything that talked about how science works, and now I understand. So I thought, you know, there's a lot of people that probably do go through college that don't have a class that talks about how, you know, the scientific method works and how we figure out if something is good science or bad science, and I thought gardeners should know too.
They should, and one of the things, and I'm going to pay you a compliment when I say this, it reads like a master gardener manual, the book, because it explains things to you. What you seem to be interested in is not just the how, but the why.
Right.
Why things happen. I mean, gardeners want to know, well, how do I do this? How do I do that? But they're not as curious, I find, as they should be. And this is one of the things that they are going to get out of your book. And it's divided into various chapters, armchair science, before you plant. I mean, you got two chapters just before you even put anything in the ground. And then you go to chapter three, which is taking the plant. And these are large chapters with pictures and charts and graphs. And chapter four, what's wrong with my plant? And then chapter five, bugs, varmints, and weeds. And it's in a three-ring binder. Is this because, why is it in a three-ring binder?
Well, you're right. It started out being kind of a Master Gardener type book, but it evolved into something bigger than that. And the editor for this book actually is a Master Gardener.
I thought you were the editor.
Well, I'm the science editor. I'm sure he's a publisher, not the editor. I'm the editor.
Okay.
And his group published it. He is a Master Gardener, and one of the things that had frustrated him with the Master Gardener manual they use is that it's in a big three-ring binder, but it's all loose leaf, and the thing was huge to haul around, and people like to take out just sections when they want to use them. So it was his idea actually to bind chapters into units that could be easily removed, and the units are all related to one another. Like, as you say, what's wrong with my plant has all the stuff about diagnosis and plant disease, and you can just take that out and sit down and read it, or take it outside, or whatever you want.
And you go into a lot of things that people are thinking about right now. The urban garden holds a prominent place in your thinking here. You've got a chapter on sustainability and what that means, and talking about it in the scientific way, what a sustain, and you've got the Venn diagram and everything. love Venn diagrams. It makes things so easy to understand. What do you think in this book, aside from teaching people the scientific method, which we've already established, is in here that you think they're not getting from garden books today?
Well, the other thing is that because there's 21 authors in it, all of them experts in their fields, is you're getting expertise of 21 people and not just one. And most books that you see are, one or a couple of authors. And I'm not an expert on all these subjects, and I wouldn't have even tried to write a book on all the topics of urban gardening and landscaping. And so I brought in other experts. And I think that's one thing that book has is true expertise in these subjects by people that research and teach those topics. And all of them are people that enjoy working with the public. They're not just kind of the ivory tower stuck in their lab researchers. It's people that really want to get their information to people that need to use it.
That is Dr. Linda Chalker Scott from Washington State University. She's written or edited and written a book called Sustainable Landscapes and Gardens, Good Science, Practical Applications. I want to ask you a couple of things that are bees in your bonnet that I know of, that I've seen over the years, and other people might not be aware of, but I have been aware of because I've read some of your stuff. So if you can hang on just a second, I'll get to that after I do a little business. Okay, Linda?
You bet.
Okay, thanks. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. It's spring, and as our plants wake up, so does the soil. But the soils around urban and suburban trees are often neglected. That's where the Care of Trees comes in. Their soil care program was designed to provide the healthiest, nutrient-rich soil for your trees with something they call ArborTea. They analyze the soil, develop compost teas to enhance the quality of the biology, and then apply these teas to restore the soil to favorable condition. Contact the Care of Trees to learn more about this cutting-edge treatment. They put you and your trees first, making the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Is going to be something that you will never regret. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborists at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
DR Services Unlimited has been providing Chicago's North Shore with award-winning remodeling and design-build services since 1991, giving their clients top-quality service and real value. They're on the cutting edge of green building technology, helping clients make their home more energy efficient without sacrificing beauty or function. If you want to make your home more energy efficient, simply want to add a room or renovate, call DR Services at 847-998-1687 or visit them at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Spring is blooming at Sid's Greenhouses, and right now they have everything you need to get your yard and garden in shape. Since there's still a chance of frost for another month or so, we might have another 2 months of frost, so be careful. Actually, the frost-free date here typically in Chicago is May 15th. Keep that in mind when you think you're going to plant your tomatoes. You might want to plant pansies instead. You can do that outside in garden beds and containers right now. Pansies are frost tolerant, and they come in a rainbow of awesome colors. Best of all, this week, jumbo 4-inch pansies are now half price. You'll get 4 for just $5. It's also the time to start flowers and vegetables from seed. This is a great family project, and SIDS has everything you'll need. And if you want to have the best lawn on the block, SIDS has all the best brands, including organic fertilizers and weed controls from Jonathan Green. Get to SIDS for your free customized lawn care plan and make plans to attend one of their free lawn care seminars on Friday or Saturday, April 9th and 10th. Check seminar times at SIDSonline.com. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard. Okay, let's get back to the science lady, Dr. Linda Chalker Scott, who's written a terrific book. I want to encourage people to get this book. It's called Sustainable Landscapes and Gardens, Good Science, Practical Application. All the information, including a link to the book, is on my website, mikenovak.net, this week. So go there if you're interested in a terrific garden book that not only will teach you the how, but the why. Now, that being said, I know that over the years you've taken issue with a lot of things, and one of them is something I just alluded to during the break, and that is compost teas.
I was chuckling as I was listening to your
You know, and I knew you were, okay, because you don't put a lot of stake in compost teas. And why is that?
Well, because it's one of those products that there's not any good science behind, especially the ones that are being marketed, the ones that are aerated. I've reviewed the science really now for 10 years, and there isn't anything that really demonstrates conclusively or repeatedly that it does anything if you spray it on plants.
Well, one of the things I've started to tell people at Garden Talks is, you know, buyer beware.
Exactly.
And that is, if you go to a garden center and you buy a bottle of brown water in a jug, you might have just bought a bottle of brown water in a jug. That being said, I know people in Chicago who have used compost teas, continue to use compost teas, swear by them, think that they're getting good results. Is it possible they're getting good results out of them?
Oh, sure. And that's the problem, is that, you know, there's a lot of anecdotal information on either side of this question. But the problem with being able to definitively say that it works is you've got to be able to test it repeatedly and with replicates. And when people have tried to do that, it's not consistent. And because, you know, teas can contain all kinds of different microbes, all these are living organisms, they all react with each other, you know, you just don't get consistent results. I have a colleague actually in Madison who just finished a very long study on compost teas, and she found out nothing. she almost feels like she wasted her time, but on the other hand, you know, we're encouraging her to publish her results because people need to know that even though one person might get good results, there's no guarantee.
Well, explain that to me again. I mean, if she spent all this time doing it, why wasn't she able to find out anything?
Well, because when you make up these teas, as I said, they're it's not like a recipe when you're adding, you know, butter and eggs and milk and flour and sugar, which are all more or less non-living things. I mean, they come from living things, but they're not actively living organisms. If you're mixing up compost teas, you've got various populations of different bacteria and different fungi, and there may be more or less of them in one particular batch than another, and some of them might be beneficial, some of them may not be. So you just don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, and what it makes me wonder about is why isn't there more scientific testing on this product or these kinds of, you know, solutions?
There actually has been a lot, but the problem is scientists are human, and when scientists don't get results that are positive, in other words, the way they think they should turn out, then oftentimes they don't publish them. which is very unfortunate because I've noticed there's been a number of reports, university reports on compost teas, but because they don't get conclusive results, they don't publish them in the scientific literature.
Isn't that part of the dialogue, though? If you don't get the results, you still should publish so that people can say, oh, look, this was inconclusive.
Absolutely. And people are doing that more. There have been more studies that come out probably in the last 2 or 3 years where people are saying that they've tested it, you know, they're not finding, you know, any kind of benefit. And I think that, you know, speaking for myself, probably all other scientists, you know, if people want to use this stuff, more power to them. But what we object to is anyone putting the patina of science on it, because it's not.
Okay. And again, I think it goes back to buyer beware at this point. It's something that we haven't really nailed down yet. And you got to be careful. As a friend of mine who actually brews compost tea says, you know what? You're a lot better off just putting compost down.
And that's what all of us say, too. Compost and the water that leaches through it, that's nature's way of making compost tea, and it costs you nothing.
Yeah. The other thing I like is you did you debunked the whole music and plants thing. I was reading that and went, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, if you pick up the book, Sustainable Landscapes and Gardens, Good Science, Practical Application, there is a little point here where, in explaining the scientific method, you debunk the whole music and plants. Can you do that for me in 30 seconds?
In 30 seconds. Well, plants don't respond to things the same way humans do. They don't have ears. Sound waves really don't mean much to them in terms of their survival. And playing acid rock or classical music has no impact on them whatsoever. Which is the nucleus of what that myth was about.
Heather, my producer Heather, has a question.
Okay. Does the same go for talking to your plants? Does talking to your plants benefit them in any way?
Well, not the sound, but on the other hand, you know, there's a lot of carbon dioxide coming out of your mouth when you're talking to your plants, and it could very well be that that little burst of carbon dioxide is going to help them out in terms of photosynthesis.
So you have to talk to them really closely, right?
And really breathily.
Hi, how are you today? But yeah, that's how I talk to my plants. Before I let you go, is there anything else that you need to get off your chest? The latest myth that's bugging the heck out of you? Because, you know, I read one of the interesting things. I was talking about Jeff Gilman on the website that you have. He wrote a thing that was kind of fascinating. And it was, the blog is called The Garden Professors. And it's a lot like Garden Rant. It has kind of that feel. If you've heard of the Garden Rant blog, imagine Garden Rant totally based on science. And this is it. And Jeff wrote, he was talking about poisons and 2,4-D and the LD50 and comparing it to caffeine and saying, you know what, caffeine's actually a stronger poison than 2,4-D. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, the same with nicotine.
Well, nicotine, we know. I assume nicotine. Yeah.
Right. You know, plants are not passive little beings. They make things to kill things because they're not able to run away from their predators, and so they make nice little chemical poisons to take care of predators.
Lovely, isn't it?
It is.
But it's a point you also make in your new book, too, which is that just because something is called organic doesn't mean it's safe.
That's correct. And that's a very dangerous little pit that people fall into sometimes, is thinking that anything that's organic is safe and natural. And the natural world is neither safe nor particularly friendly towards humans.
Yeah, I had a guest in here last week who brought in, you know, big can of Rotenone. I said, please don't open that in the studio, okay?
Oh, geez.
it was a prop. Of course, on radio you can't see it, but
no.
but it was to drive that point home. That's something else. And you will learn this, you will understand this if you pick up this book. You know, if you want to get behind why plants do what they do and why you should do certain things in the garden and why you shouldn't do other things in the garden. Sustainable Landscapes and Gardens, Good Science, Practical Application. Dr. Linda Chalker-Scott is the author and editor, and she's got 21, is it 21 other or 20 other people? 21 other people?
20 other people, yeah.
20 other people, educators, scientists who have contributed to this. I'll tell you what, Linda, you and I have to talk again more often than we have in the past, because I want you to come and do some myth busting.
I'd love to.
On the program. I'm going to call you again and when you're not selling a book, so we can just kind of go off on things and have some fun.
Sounds like fun.
All right, great. Wait, before you go, though, of course, I have to play this one more time. And you did.
It stuck in my head all day.
I know. That's my gift to you on a Sunday.
And why, thank you, Mike.
And I know, and it's 1 or 2 hours earlier over where you are.
It's 2 hours earlier, but I'm an early person.
Yeah, so, you know, you're on the West Coast, so at 6:34 in the morning, you're going to have this stuck in your head all day.
That's great.
My pleasure. Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Okay, sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Mike.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Now, you walk out the door and your morning is ruined by the sight of your deer or rabbit decimated landscape. Go on the offensive. Bonide Repels All is a natural animal repellent that will keep deer, rabbits, skunks, squirrels, chipmunks, raccoons, and more at bay for up to 2 months, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Repels All works 3 different ways: smell, taste, and as an irritant. Repels All does not have an unpleasant odor. It will last up to 2 months and is rain fast in just 6 hours. You can apply all natural Repels All to treats, shrubs, perennials, even around edible crops, or if you have animals chewing on structures or fences, or your dining room table leg. It's one of the most effective animal repellents you will ever use. Repels All is available at these fine stores: Lurvy Garden Center in Des Plaines, Fertile Gardens in Chicago, Red's Garden Center in Northbrook, or go to Bonide.com for a dealer near you or to see Bonide's full product listing. We've got Rick DeMille weather in just 1 minute. About the time that Abraham Lincoln was president, a man named Jonathan Green was already working on how to grow a better lawn. That knowledge has been passed down to the family members who run the company today. And they're working to create the new American lawn, one that uses less fertilizer, is drought tolerant, and more disease and insect resistant. For instance, their Black Beauty grass seed mixture is a breakthrough in turf grass breeding. It uses tall fescues that are the darkest green turf grasses on the market today. The Natural Beauty all-organic lawn fertilizer contains 25% humates, which feed the beneficial microbes in the soil. That's what you need to know about it. And they'll feed your lawn for up to 10 weeks per application, and it has no phosphorus, which can cause water quality problems. Then there's Jonathan Green Organic Weed Control, which is 100% corn gluten in a beautiful sugar grind, which spreads nicely and breaks down fast. You're going to be applying corn gluten meal at the time the forsythias pop, and that's going to happen real soon. Log on to jonathangreen.com and register to receive the Jonathan Green newsletter. You can find Jonathan Green products at Pesquazy Home and Garden in Lake Bluff, Tholen's Garden Center in Kankakee, and Alsip Home and Nursery in St. John, Indiana.
Reach out, touch faith.
See, I always, when
is
I think...
This in, is this for Palm Sunday?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that, but it is Palm Sunday,
it
isn't
is.
It? I was just thinking of Rick DeMille.
Oh, he is a savior.
Yeah, and it's when it... You're going to get in trouble now.
I know. I didn't say the.
Oh, okay.
I said ah.
Ah, good. Wow. Wow.
It's like, unless he grows his really hair really long and starts walking around in sandals preaching peace and love.
Well, unless
then
he might
be Jerry Garcia.
I was just thinking, if he, you know, he lives on Lake Michigan, maybe he can walk across it, but. All right, now that we're in deep trouble.
Yeah.
On a Sunday morning.
It's a sense
on Palm Sunday morning.
Palm Sunday with a sense of humor.
Ah, you people going to church, you need a good laugh.
Yep.
And actually, Rick DeMille's not going to provide you with a laugh, but he might make you smile, because I hear that the weather this week might get pretty nice.
Oh, Mike, it's going to get perfect. Yeah, we have to get through today and probably a little bit of tomorrow, but beginning probably late Monday. But mostly Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, it's gonna feel like almost mid-May weather around here, Mike. It's gonna really, really warm up. Yeah.
Cool.
Warm.
Yes, you're right. I could use that. That would be fun. It's been a nice gradual warm up. At this point, if we get some 70s, or are we gonna get near 80?
I don't think so. It's tough to get near 80 this time of the year. We're actually record high for April 1st and April 2nd. I was just checking. Is 82. You need everything to kind of work to get near 80 degrees. You need basically real strong winds out of the southwest, almost no cloud cover, and a fairly dry atmosphere. But I have to say, I think we're going to take a run at least 76, 77, and maybe even 78 for Thursday and Friday. And
whoa.
I wouldn't be surprised if we're up to 75 on Wednesday. This is going to be a three-day run of very, very nice weather, obviously coinciding perfectly with spring break for a lot of kids. Not so much your college kids; they've already had their spring break. But all the CPS schools, obviously all the parochial schools, are off this week for Easter. And unfortunately, it looks like it turns cloudy, wet, and cool for next Sunday, for Easter Sunday. You know, a lot of churches like to have, you know, early sunrise services. But put it this way, Mike, next Sunday will look a lot like this Sunday. A lot of cloud cover, wind off the lake. Looking at the surface map right now, temperatures are in the upper 30s across the North Shore, right around 40 degrees at O'Hare, low to mid 40s south side. That's because the wind is off the lake at about 20, and we have a thick cloud cover, but I don't think we're going to see any rain today, Mike. It looks like all the rain essentially stays just to the south of Cook County. It's raining right now in parts of Will County. It's pouring, though, across east central sections of Illinois into west central areas of Indiana. They've had really good soaking rains down there, so the farmers are loving that. But here, just kind of cloudy, cool, windy, and I wouldn't be surprised if by about maybe 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon the sun will be out. So a little bit of a half and half day, which is normally what you get for this time of the year, Mike.
And just kind of setting up for the end of the week. That's
Well, actually, not even the end of the week, pretty much the beginning of the week. I think this warm-up begins, as I said, on Tuesday.
Wow.
We'll see temperatures probably, you know, fairly cool tomorrow morning. Readings probably near 50 for Monday, but I think by Tuesday we're in the low 60s, which is about 10 degrees above normal, and then as I said, almost mid 70s. It's really going to warm up fast for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So I would not be surprised if by this time next week we see a lot more green around here. It's really going to bloom up pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that we get to Thursday and Friday, you're just going to see things pop. It's just
mm-hmm.
going to go bam. All
right.
At once.
Not the trees, but definitely the bushes.
No. Right. The trees, they take their own sweet time about doing that.
Right.
But, you know, I've got daffodils already blooming and crocuses.
Oh, yeah.
Crocuses are almost done in my yard. And but the daffs are up, and what you'll see is the other things in the ground, like your tulips and so forth, make leaps and bounds forward.
I wouldn't be surprised, and this is the kind of fun thing about this time of the year. Is I remember my mother used to always make me do this because we had like 8 tulips in our yard. I grew up in New York City, so we had like 8 tulips in the front of the house, and they're all kind of like, you know, they made like a circle, you know, around this big bush that my father, I don't know what it was called, but every year he'd cut it back, he'd make it look like something.
Wait, did he cut it into a ball shape? Is that what he did?
Yeah, the normal stuff. I mean, we had no grass. We were on a plot of land that was, I think, 22 by 100, and the backyard was basically the place where the dog went. So there was no garden back there. I'm sure the soil was very, very had a lot of nutrients in it.
Yeah, but probably fairly compacted too by the dog.
Yeah, probably.
Where exactly were you in New York?
In Queens, South Queens. So it was kind of like half and half between super urban and somewhat suburban, because, as you know, Queens is the borough where you end up having a lot of big houses and yards as you head towards Long Island, but the part of Queens that's near Brooklyn is a lot of brownstones, and that was the part where I was in. But anyway, what I was saying was, what my mother was always into leather and still is, and she would make us go out there and measure the height of the tulip every day. We're like, I don't want to do this, measure the stupid tulip, you know. But it was kind of cool because she could actually see it, you know, poking up through the soil. So moms and dads, if you want a real good science project for your kids to do, and obviously with today, with digital, you know, cameras being what they are, I highly recommend this. And I was actually teaching a friend of mine's photography class at a co-op up in Evanston on Friday. And I said, if you want a real good project, take your camera, plot it someplace at 8 o'clock every day at the same time, and just take a picture of the same thing between now and next Saturday. And you'll just see things change. And that's what you can do with tulips, as you know. Those shoots will probably pop up about 2 inches in a matter of 7 days, as long as that ground gets warm, and that's exactly what's going to happen this week. So it's kind of nice to predict nature in that way, isn't it?
Yeah, although what you're trying to do is pass along your own torture to another generation here.
Yeah, it's called parenting, Mike.
Are you going to make your son go, well, you don't have a yard at the moment, but see.
No, but I have Lake Michigan I can look out on. So it's been amazing to watch the ice over the last month just kind of shrink. It was very impressive. And so far we're way ahead of last year as far as the lake water temperature. It's up now to about 42 degrees. This time last year was only about 36. So we're doing better from that standpoint.
Does that indicate any kind of trend for this year? We're still in an El Nino pattern. Is that correct?
Yeah, but you know what? It's interesting. I was with a couple of friends of mine who do some long-range forecasting, and we were marveling about the fact that this El Nino, which was quoted a moderate El Nino, produced some of the coldest continental temperatures in the last 120 years from North America. I shouldn't say North America. I should say the United States over to Canada and parts of Asia. It was truly amazing, and we were all trying to figure out why this was happening. And there's something called an Arctic oscillation, where the airflow across the North Pole was actually stronger than what the El Nino was actually providing. And those two systems, those two large-scale global systems, continue to produce a very, very active storm track from essentially Southern California, even south of Southern California, basically Baja, Mexico, through central Mexico, across Texas. You heard about all the snow that parts of Dallas and Oklahoma had, and some of the cold weather that Florida had. And if you look at the overall maps, and sometimes you don't know that you're into something until you're about two-thirds of the way out of it, really. So when you're looking at these overall maps, Mike, we were looking at stuff all the way from the Pacific Ocean through North America into the Atlantic. You see the storm track, and you see the resultant, what we call this outgoing long-wave radiation. And it was remarkable. Places like southern Texas, places like Orlando, Key West, had their coldest winters ever. But then when you go up into Canada, believe it or not, Canada had their warmest winter ever. It was unreal when you think about it. It was kind of like a flip. And it wasn't so much that the weather up in Canada was warm, but there was really a lack of true Arctic air, a real true lack of that bone-chilling air. And you really didn't hear much about the fact that we had these blasts of record cold temperatures across the northern plains of the upper Midwest this winter. We only had one day where the temperature was below zero. However, it was persistently cool across the southern latitudes. So we were all trying to figure out why this was. And there was a three-day meeting out at San Diego, Scripps Institute of Oceanography, just last week, with a lot of heads of climate out there. And they basically came to the conclusion that without global warming and without the El Nino that we had this past winter, this winter probably would have been even colder without that. So when some people say, oh, my God, this winter was so cold, in a sense, it probably would have actually been colder, similar to what we had back in 1977 and 78. And
you know,
it's kind of a hard pill to swallow, isn't it, when you think about it that way?
Yeah, well, you know, all I've got to say about that is this. Science. See,
it's all science, right?
Yeah, it definitely is all science.
But that is fascinating that the global warming took a winter that normally
would have been much colder.
Would have been brutal, basically.
Yeah,
and it turned it into a cold, kind of consistently cold, but not excessively cold winter.
Right, and that's a really weird thing to have to explain to someone, because obviously the first thing that I think what's happened with all of climate science and climate change is I think the pendulum almost swung too far the other way, where everybody was jumping on the bandwagon and saying, oh my God, our climate's going to be like Oklahoma in 50 years, and we're not going to have snow again, and it's never going to be cold again. And as soon as you have the cold and the snow, people go, well, wait a minute, you said this, okay? You can't predict weather like that, and you can't predict climate like that. You have to be able to predict something that's within somewhat of an acceptable scenario, I guess is a better way of talking about it.
Yeah.
We were looking at these kind of patterns, and we're saying to ourselves, okay, maybe this is how we're supposed to be predicting weather and climate. Is not so much that we're going to have a mild winter, because in some people's eyes, we didn't. But if you look at the overall numbers for Chicago, the numbers were almost directly at normal. Even though we had a lot of snow, it was at normal. If you go further south, it was colder. If you go further north, it was actually above normal.
We were right in the middle there.
Yeah, right in the middle. So, yeah. Anyway, it always makes you think twice or three times about going out long term and saying this is what's going to happen, bar none. And we realize that you can't do that.
Good point. All right, yeah. It's going to get warm this week. It's going to be great. It's going to rain on Easter, maybe. We don't. But you know.
By the way, real quickly, how did you celebrate Earth Hour last night?
By working on my show.
Oh. He's honest.
Did you turn your lights off for an hour?
You know what?
What?
I'm busted.
Don't tell me you forgot.
I forgot. I totally forgot.
I did too.
I drove around Chicago with my headlights off. It was fun.
See? Wow, we're all busted here on this show.
Yeah. And I was in neutral the entire time. I wasn't even using my gas pedal. How about that? I was just finding all the hills in Chicago, which there weren't many, so I wasn't too successful.
Yeah, there's not a lot. You have to go up to Ridge Road to do anything. So.
Yeah, or Mount Prospect.
Oh, like you had to bring that up, didn't you? You know, when it was over, I looked around and went, oh, my goodness, I forgot about it.
Oh, brother.
You got to understand, Saturday night's a work night for me. It's like I'm getting ready. And
two hours next year. How about that?
There you go.
You know what? I may just do an hour today and just turn it off. You'd say, you know, it'll be a lag thing. You know, we never know.
Right. It's the lag effect. Yeah. We learned that in meteorology as well, right?
Rick DeMaio, who busted me, thank you so much for that. You can go to DeMaioWeather.com or my homepage, MikeNovak.net, and the link is there.
You are there.
And you are on CBS 2 this weekend, right?
Yeah, I'll be doing some fill-in work. As I think we all know, there's been about a bunch of changes over at Channel 2. Ed Kern has been released of his contract. I have to say, Ed Kern is a great guy. He's done some reporting for Channel 5, for WGN-TV over the years.
I know him. I worked with him at WGN Radio. Great guy. I like Ed a lot.
Oh, yeah. I texted back and forth to Ed. He's going to be fine. He's got some things, you know, working in the mix if anybody, you know, misses Ed over at Channel 2.
You know, Ed is the kind of guy that's probably got 40 projects already in the hopper. You know, he's moving on to the next thing. So
Ed's a terrific guy. I myself will still be just doing some fill-in work at Channel 2. I'll be on next Saturday. And then I'll be on again, I think, somewhere in mid-April. But in between that, I got a lot of homework to do. I got a lot of GIS homework to do. I actually presented a paper at an aviation weather seminar at the National Weather Service office yesterday down at Lewis University. So obviously aviation is still, you know, a big part of what I do. And then I'll be presenting something on weather and GIS, which is Geographic Information Systems at Elmhurst College on April 6th. So I'm always busy, Mike. Me and Ed are always busy.
I know you guys are. You meteorologists, you just can't stop. All right. And I got to take care of some biz, so I'm going to let you go, and we will talk next week.
See you, Mike.
Take care. There was a time when maintaining a lush green lawn meant choosing between harsh chemicals or natural alternatives that didn't work. Not anymore. Espoma presents Espoma Organic Weed Preventer to help prevent tough weeds from establishing in the spring naturally. Their secret is corn gluten meal, a byproduct from the production of cornstarch for food. But for some reason, it helps to keep seeds from germinating properly, including weed seeds. Simply spread Espoma Organic Weed Preventer as recommended when you see the forsythias start to pop. And that, you know, that might happen at the end of this week. It's hard to say. So you might want to go out and get the Espoma Organic Weed Preventer this week. And then you apply it again at the end of the summer. It will keep weeds like crabgrass and foxtail from getting started on your lawn. And while it won't kill already established perennials like dandelions, and that's something important you got to keep in mind, it keeps their seeds from germinating, which means that the longer you use Espoma Organic Weed Preventer, the fewer weeds you will see. Espoma Organic Weed Preventer includes 100% natural organic nitrogen. And because it's organic, it's safe for your kids and pets right now. Visit Espoma.com, and while you're there, join the Espoma Garden Club. E-S-P-O-M-A. Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929.
Homeowners, why replace your expensive shrubbery every time deer or rabbits visit your property? You can save your plantings for a fraction of the cost with Bob-X. Spring is finally here, and nature's hungry creatures will start feasting on your gardens and landscapes. Stop them the all-natural way with Bob-X repellent sprays. Bob-X guarantees protection for your spring plantings from deer and small animal damage. Use the most effective animal repellents on the market. Bob-X repellents give people the confidence to invest in and enjoy their landscapes. Bob-X's unique deterrent ingredients are all natural and are environmentally friendly. Bob-X won't wash off in the rain or with regular watering. Get Bob-X at your local independent garden center or hardware store. If they don't have it, ask them to get Bob-X. To learn more about Bob-X, go to bobx.com. That's bobbex.com. Plants thrive and survive with Bob-X.
Are you planting veggies this spring? Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines is the place to pick up your cool weather starter plants. Now, here's what you can find at Pesci's right now. Broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, kale, cauliflower, several varieties of lettuce, and more. These are plants, not seeds. Pesci's grows their own. They are free of sprays and fertilizers. And, now this is really cool, they use their own runoff water to irrigate the plants. That's what I call sustainable. So come to the grower, where you'll find the best selection and prices guaranteed. Another reason to stop by is the brand spanking new Pesci's Training Auditorium, complete with a stage for speakers, a greenhouse with potting benches for up to 20 people, and 200 seats. They're firing it up with seminar on summer bulbs next Saturday, April 3rd, and there will be many more events there, not just gardening, but also cooking and green living events, including the Mike Novak Show on Sunday, May 2nd, live from Pesci's Training Auditorium. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of 294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online at Pesci's.com, P-E-S-C-H-E-S.com. Pesci's three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. And next hour, we will have Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week.
I come in last night about a half past ten. That baby of mine would let me in.
Before we get to CNN News, also on the homepage, earlier we told you that there was the picture of me and his honor, Mayor Richard M. Daley, on the page. But right under that is something real cool. Remember last week we had a woman call towards the end of the show, and Jennifer Brennan was here from the chalet, and she had a problem with her ficus plant, fiddleleaf ficus. Well, we got it solved, and it's on the homepage, MikeNovak.net, including photos. Because the woman, Sue Hu? I don't know.
It's
S-U. Her first name is S-U. Last name is H-U-H. So I don't exactly know how to pronounce it. But Jennifer identified the problem, and you can read all about it there. Briefly, the fiddly ficus is in a room that drops below 50 degrees at night. The rust-colored spots are the results of edema, damaged cells that formed callous tissue. The damage occurs when cells are turgid with water and temperature drops more than 10 to 15 degrees. The cells rupture and scar, the notched edges, and she shows them all there. The bottom line is that the plant was ripping itself apart because of the cold weather, the cold in the house and having water in the leaves. And as Jennifer says, no insects and no disease. See, this is why, let me emphasize this, this is why it's so hard to diagnose something like this on the radio. When folks call me and they say, oh, yeah, you can figure that out. Well, no, not necessarily. I need to see the plant. That's why you take it to a place like the Chalet or Pesci's or SIDS or the Morton Arboretum or the Botanic Garden, because they have plant clinics there. Or you call your extension service office and let them know, show them what you've got. It's diagnosing things on the radio is not the best way to do it, because I cannot see the plant.
Well, it's green and it has leaves.
And there's brown spots on
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But I'm so I'm so glad that Jennifer Brennan from the Chalet took the time to do this. It's fascinating. Go to my website, the homepage. We got a little slideshow about, you can see the picture of the fiddly ficus leaves and find out for yourself what went wrong. All right, the second big hour of the Mike Novak Show is coming up right after CNN News. I hope you stick around for it.
Here we've got an overwintering dome. This is very typical. They are very hardy. Normally to overwinter, they will seek a hiding place, someplace that gives them a little bit of protection from the weather. And you can see that this gnome is chosen behind this rock. Last fall, it went undetected and unnoticed. It was able to overwinter. And you can see that now it's becoming quite a large gnome and quite a nuisance, quite a problem. If left unchecked, they can outcompete other lawn ornaments and other parts of the landscape. Here we see a gnome that has taken up residency in a pagoda. This particular gnome overwintered in this pagoda. And if left unchecked, it can destroy this particular lawn ornament.
Hey! Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by SIDS Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes since 1997. Here he is, Mike Novak.
You really know how to dance.
Yes, I do. I have hit all the right songs today, haven't I, for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I'm enjoying your playlist there.
Okay, good.
The rock and roll gardener blooms again.
You know, somebody was talking to me yesterday, I think it was my friend Mac, who said, you have to do all these songs with green themes. I said, no, I'm rocking out. I don't. Because the problem is the songs with the green themes usually are
kind of depressing.
They're depressing or they're just wimpy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I've noticed that lately in pop music. A lot of it is they're just wusses.
Yeah. Let's rock out on green.
Like, just like, ooh. And I'm like, no, no. Where's my bass? Where's some drums? Come on.
In fact, if I got if we're going to rock out, I may have to play some Eco Elvis. I'm definitely...
Oh, Eco Elvis.
Yo, we may have to bring Eco Elvis, what?
Yeah, there's what proves you and I wrong, and the wussy and the sappy. And
well,
the,
yeah, but this is...
Eco
you know,
Elvis
and I, is. And I think we're going to have Eco Elvis back on the program. You know, we had him on last year.
That just takes...
Were you here when I had Eco Elvis?
No,
oh, that's
not.
Before your time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well then, so that you can enjoy the phenomenon... That is Eco Elvis, and I believe it's Eco. Would you look it up? I think it's EcoElvis.com.
Absolutely.
And he's like 6'8", and he wears. I mean, and he wears his green jumpsuit.
I love that. I love that.
He looks
there
like
he
the world's.
Hello, Bubba.
Looks like the world's largest zucchini.
That's a lot of green sequins.
I know.
They had less than that at the St. Pat's Parade.
So at some point, in fact, what I will do, maybe somebody left a...
I'm just curious. I mean, that just takes Elvis impersonation to a whole new level. The inspiration to combine the two is just brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes it to a new level. Yeah. It actually takes it to a different universe.
Yeah. I read somewhere, too, that, like, by 2040, like, one in every eight people will be an Elvis impersonator or something along those lines.
Oh, boy. Hey! Happy Palm Sunday, everybody. How you
the
doing?
King.
How you doing? Yeah, how you doing on Palm Sunday? Hey. Eco Elvis. And we'll play a little of that later on. Okay, we're almost into April. So why don't you have your March-April issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine? And that is not a rhetorical question. For one thing, when you get this issue, you also receive the annual Chicagoland Gardening Resource Guide, which has information about garden center supplies, arboreta, that's the plural of arboretum, greenhouses and florists, and landscape design services throughout the region. Do you like tulips? Are you insane? Who doesn't? Then you need to see the story about the best varieties and how to grow them. Then if I asked the question, got shade? Many of you would say, yeah. So there's a story about woodland plants that will do great in those shady beds. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is in newsstands all over the area, but better yet, get a subscription and have it delivered to your home. And if you read my very own column in the back of the magazine, well, you won't win a prize, but you'll make me happy, and that's worth more than any darned prize, right? Go to ChicagolandGardening.com. That's ChicagolandGardening.com, and tell them Mike sent you. It won't get you anything special, but just tell them I sent you. Okay, this is what was the one? Eco Elvis. There was one. That's it. Fix the system. I was talking to, again, my friend Mac yesterday, and we were talking about Eco Elvis, and I said, I happened to hear Little Sister on the radio yesterday, and I said, oh, Eco Elvis does a version of this, and it goes something like this. Come on. Kind of an interesting take on Little Sister. Fix the system.
Yeah, fix the system. Thank you very much.
All right, we'll get Equal Elvis on soon. Let us go to line one and bring in our guests who were here yesterday. I can tell because the gnomes did not leave this little goodie bag, but I believe that Carrie and Carol did. Carrie Rosenthal. Carol, how do you pronounce your last name?
It's Neese.
It is Neese?
Yes.
Oh, I was hoping it was Neek because I could say, we are the Carols who say, Neek!
I'm sure she's never heard that before.
Once or twice.
Yeah, oh, really? Oh, I wasn't the first? Darn.
Almost. Almost the first.
Okay. And they are the chief cooks and bottle washers, and I guess plastic washers, for the Seed Keeper Company. And what they do is they give you this thing. Well, you got to purchase it. But I ran into you guys at the Garden Writers meeting. Garden writers like to get together and talk about gardeny stuff. And we got together at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, a bunch of garden writers in a room. And boy, if that isn't the most boring thing you've ever seen in your life. But I wasn't that boring, really. That's where Carrie and Carol said, do you know about the Seed Keeper Kit? And I said, well, no. So tell me about the Seed Keeper Kit. Who's going to start here?
I'll let Carrie go.
Okay, I'll go. But the Seed Keeper Kit, it's a seed pack file kit, and it's got an accessory pack that goes along with it, 8 tools. And they are 5 glassine envelopes, 5 wooden plant markers, a marking pen, garden gloves, a clip, and a little ruler.
Partridge in a pear tree.
I feel like that. But they're all tools that help when you're starting seeds.
And I've got one of these here because the little garden gnomes left me a kit here yesterday. In fact, the garden gnomes also left me a T-shirt.
Yes, they did.
Oh, so you guys are confessing that you are the garden gnomes. Yes.
We are.
Yes. You sound like them, especially when you do it in unison. We are the garden gnomes.
We represent the Seedkeeper Company.
That's exactly what I had in my head was the Munchkins. I did when she said that. She read my mind. That was scary.
Oh, that is scary. And there it is. And what's it's a little box here that has little snap locks on the side. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of funny that you would give this to me because yesterday I was talking to Kathleen and I said, where are those seeds I had last year? I know I had plenty of extras and, you know, they're still viable probably because seeds, you know, depending on the kinds of seeds you have, the viability rate goes down, but a lot of seeds are still viable a year later.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
And which is why you put them in a box like this and hold on to them. And I have no idea where I put them. I should have had this box last year. You know, I'm so busted today. I lose my seeds.
Forgot about Earth Hour.
Forgot about Earth Hour.
You're not alone, though.
What's that?
I forgot about it, too.
Yeah. But did you lose your seeds?
No.
Didn't have any.
I know. I have two packets, and I know exactly where they are. I just don't have a pot or dirt or anything of the sort to put them in.
There you go. But I've got the kit here, and it's a little rack that like you said, you got the alphabet cards there, so you can put your seeds according to the alphabet.
Name.
You can alphabetize, name A, B,
right,
C.
Right, right, right.
That's how an alphabet works. I don't know that these gloves are going to fit. They look a little small. I might have to give these to you.
Okay.
Because I've got a bunch they're tiny. Okay,
they're
here you
cute.
Go.
That keeps giving.
They're lime green with pink flowers on them.
Yeah, And that's another reason I'm giving them to you.
And they fit.
And they fit her. So
good.
You just made Heather happy.
Yay.
Now, you can go, obviously, to seedkeepercompany.com, right?
Right.
And get this. But are you selling it in the stores as well?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, we're at Knoopers, and we're in Hawthorne Gardens. Let's do a shout-out to Hawthorne Gardens. They're
Woo-hoo!
Listening to you right now.
Right now, live.
Hey, well,
and,
wait.
We're
there
also
we go.
At Platte Hill Nurseries in Carpentersville, Bloomingdale, and Countryside Floral.
Well, other than to become rich beyond your wildest dreams, what made you want to do this? I mean, even if you come up with something now, as I said on my website, I don't know if you've been to the website yet today. You could probably put this together yourself at home, but why not get something that's all ready to go and make it easy on yourself, and it doesn't cost a whole lot. It's like $30, and you get the whole thing. Why did you start this company?
Because of that very thing. Carol's organized. She had her stuff in a Ziploc, at least. My seeds were all over the place. And she went to get hers, and the little mice had gotten to them. And I was still digging for mine. And I'm like, why isn't there something out there that we can put this stuff in? So we came together on this and said, started looking and found out that a lot of other people have the same problems. We can't tell you how many people said, I lost those seeds. I can't find those seeds. So we put together a plan.
And a lot of people think that you buy a pack of seeds and you just throw them away. They don't know that if you keep them properly, you can really sustain their viability for quite a number amount of years, especially vegetables.
Yeah. I think that's important because folks buy seeds in the first place to
right?
save money.
Mm-hmm,
usually.
Yes.
Well, and, they might like the idea of planting their own seeds, but you can really save money by growing from seed. But the thing is, there's usually so many seeds in a pack, depending on the plant you're growing,
right.
that usually you can pack. You know, I've planted seeds 5 years down the road and they germinated. I don't recommend it necessarily. But if you really want to save money, yeah, you go back and you use the seeds you used last year.
Oh, sure.
Right. And, you know, our little divider cards have all different information on each one of them. And We have one about the viability and longevity of vegetable seeds.
That's our U card.
Because, yes, the U card.
Oh, really? Oh, wait, let me find this.
Oh, yeah, you have to open up your pack.
Oh, yeah, the U card. Each card has different information on it.
Really?
And one of our favorites is the H card, and that's Seeds of Hope for the Hungry, and that's about the Plant a Row Project from Garden Writers. We love that.
Are you playing the H card on my show?
We're playing the H card.
that's the Seeds of Hope for the Hungry.
Yeah.
Plant a Row.
Mm-hmm. And S is a frost zone map.
I'm sorry, what?
The S card is a frost zone map.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Frost zone map. Oh, even in full color.
Yes, it is.
And the U card is the approximate longevity of vegetable seeds kept in proper storage. All right. Let me read some of these for folks. And you do it according to seed type and the number of years, that they can stay viable. For instance, beans, 3 to 6 years. Broccoli, 4 to 5 years. Cantaloupe, 6 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Carrots, 3 to 5 years. Cauliflower, 4 to 5 years. Again, as you say, this is properly stored, and that means don't let moisture get to them, right?
Right.
And
that's what this kit helps do. It helps protect them from the elements.
But I would also assume that you want to put this box in a cool, dry place.
Yes, absolutely.
Store it in a cool, dry place.
Not necessarily a refrigerator, I think. I hear a lot of people do that.
What would be wrong with that? Now, because I've heard about that, too, because I have stored seeds in jars, and a lot of people do that. They'll put it in a jar. And in an envelope, and then seal the jar and put it in the refrigerator.
Oh, all right.
But, well, no. Let's, Heather, do some search in there.
Okay.
Let's see what we got on that. Anyway, cucumbers can go to corn 4 to 5 years, cucumbers 5 to 7 years, eggplants 3 to 5, and on and on and on. Let's see, what else might people be interested in? Sunflowers 4 to 6, tomatoes 4 to 7 years. So, if you've got those old seeds, yeah, you can try to plant them. Now, if they don't germinate, then you get fresh ones.
Sure,
and
right.
You're going to know pretty quickly whether they're going to germinate or not. And like I said, you don't expect the germination rates to be the same as when you buy them fresh.
But you can test them. And you can test them. You can lay like 10 of them out and see which percentage of the 10 that you've laid out germinate. And you can get a pretty good idea how many seeds you need to plant to get the amount of plants you want as a result.
Really good point. That is a good point. Any other tips you got?
That's sciencey.
Great ideas.
Oh, wait. Hold on a second here. I think she said the magic word, and it means I have to do this. Because you guys are sciencey.
Yeah, I love that. Science-y. Well, that's why we have the little seed sorting dish in our kitchen, because that's real sciencey. It's a real Petri dish, and it's a great little dish to dump your seeds in.
Oh, yeah, the little Petri dish.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that. I'm looking for mine. Where's my little Petri dish?
In your little kit.
I know. I am looking in the kit. Missy, don't tell me where I'm looking. Well, I can't find my little Petri dish. What is it? Just a plain old, what is it? Is it a little plastic dish?
It's a little small, but it's a real sciencey Petri dish. It's from, it's the real deal, but it's a great place like when you're dumping your seeds out, they're so hard. Some of them are so tiny, but if you put them in there, you can manage them a lot better.
You just take a toothpick, actually, and you can pick up each seed with a toothpick, and it works great.
Well, I don't see my Petri dish. I feel ripped off. What kind of a product is this?
Oh, my goodness.
No.
There's no Petri dish
in. You got a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Why are you complaining?
You'll have 10 of them tomorrow.
I am not mixing my seeds on my T-shirt.
But you can wear the T-shirt. You can't wear the Petri dish.
Okay.
This is a plus.
Okay, whatever.
I've seen how he dresses. He needs a T-shirt.
Hey, stop it.
So, I couldn't help it. It was there.
It's all right. But if you, the listening audience, order this, you will get a Petri dish.
Absolutely
guaranteed. They were just messing with me, right?
Keeping you on your toes.
That's right.
On the radio and stuff.
Anything else, ladies, that we should know about this before I say goodbye?
It's a great Mother's Day gift, and it's a really, really fun activity to do with children.
You know, that's a good point. Mother's Day, yeah, I accept that as marketing kicking in, your marketing kicking in.
That's just a fact.
That's
I know
right.
Tons of women who would love that for Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
You're right. Kids, teaching kids about growing seeds is...
Oh, I think that's so important.
It's one of the great things you can do, just introducing them to that whole idea, because we have... You know, we talk about it on the show all the time, and we're starting to talk about it a lot at WCPT, how we don't know where our food comes from. And, you know, and a kid who thinks that a tomato comes from the Jewel, mm-hmm. you know, and we got to get past that and show them what happens in nature a little bit.
Oh, the magic of growing a seed. I think once kids really get into that, they don't forget it.
No, they don't. And I won't forget that you left my Petri dish out.
Oh,
am I brutal or what?
You are. Oh. You're just the mean.
All right.
I'm laying on the floor now.
No, don't beg. It's okay. It's so unbecoming. All right. So unbecoming. Okay. I'm just kidding you. I'll get my own Petri dish.
Oh, we'll send you some.
No, don't worry about it. It's fine. You know what I can use? I'll use one of my CD cases here.
There you go.
One of the thousands of CD cases that Heather gave me the other week to recycle from the radio station. How do I end up with those jobs?
That's what you're the recycling guy.
I know. And now
you're
I'm
the
trying
recycling
to
guru.
Find a place to recycle CD cases. I'll let you know how I do. Carrie Rosenthal. Let me try that again. Carrie Rosenthal, Carol Niece. They are with the Seed Keeper Company. It's seedkeepercompany.com. Got a phone number?
Yes. Oh. We have a couple of them. 847-650-5977 or 281-380-5982.
It sounds like your cell phones. Just call us on the cell. I think the best thing, because nobody remembers phone numbers,
right, just
go to seedkeepercompany.com and check out their product. It was fun talking to you guys.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful week. It's going to be a beautiful week to sow some seeds.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and just in time for Easter. So, and enjoy the rest of this day.
Well, thank you.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Where's my Petri dish? You're right. I'm just so mean. That's just, it's what I do best. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Here's something to think about during March Madness, and, we're in the middle of that in many ways than one. Lawn roots and tree roots are in competition with each other, and lawn roots often win. Surprised? Studies at the Morton Arboretum have shown that turf grass can reduce the amount of tree roots present in the top few inches of soil by 90%. It's amazing when you think about it. In fact, I ran into the guy at the Morton Arboretum the other day who did that study. And I'm going to have him on the show, I hope, in the not-too-distant future, because I want to talk about that. And this is just one of the reasons why you don't want to plant your lawn anywhere near the trunk of your tree. Like I said, let me give you that fact again, that turf grass can reduce the amount of tree roots present in the top few inches of soil by 90%, which means you mulch around your tree. You extend the mulch ring away from the trunk of the tree, and please don't plant lawn right up to the trunk of your tree. With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. The Care of Trees is a bunch of great people, and you want to make them part of your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborists at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees.
DR Services Unlimited has been providing Chicago's North Shore with award-winning remodeling and design-build services since 1991, giving their clients top-quality service and real value. They're on the cutting edge of green building technology, helping clients make their home more energy efficient without sacrificing beauty or function. If you want to make your home more energy efficient, simply want to add a room or renovate, call DR Services at 847-998-1687 or visit them at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
And that DR guy, Ron Cowgill, is going to be here at 10 o'clock with Mighty House. Uh-oh. And I see that Dan Costa is writing to me about Old Seed. Yeah. He confirms the refrigerator thing because I've done that. He says, just put leftover seed in the refrigerator when you're done sowing. I've used a lot of seed 5 years old and even more. Back in college, there was a reference to an experiment that showed corn seed buried in the ground in a metal container germinated after 20 years. And I've seen, and Jack Pizzo just walked in, and I've seen references to seeds, you know, sometimes thousands of years old that germinate. You've heard of this yourself, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They pulled lotus seeds, I think it was in Thailand, and that were 1,000 years old, and they germinated.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And what Mother Nature does to keep things going.
Survival of the fittest.
Exactly. Spring is blooming at Sid's Greenhouses, and right now they have everything you need to get your garden and yard in shape. Since there's still a chance of frost for another month or so, you know, don't get fooled by 70-degree temperatures this week, because it can happen. Plant pansies outside now in garden beds and containers. Pansies are frost-tolerant, and they come in a rainbow of colors. Now, you know, that is something that people, the phrase, they call somebody a pansy, but pansies are tough. You know, it should be a mark of toughness, don't you think?
Of course.
I'm a pansy.
Yeah. That's a...
I'm a pansy.
Now, best of all, it's this week, jumbo 4-inch pansies are a half price.
Can you say I'm a jumbo 4-inch pansy?
I'm a jumbo 4-inch pansy. Want to make something of it? Anyway, the jumbo 4-inch pansies, you get four for just $5. Now is also the time to start flowers and vegetables from seed that you've kept in your refrigerator or elsewhere or in your seedkeeper company box. It's a great family project. SIDS has everything you'll need. And if you want to have the best lawn on the block, SIDS has all the best brands, including organic fertilizers and weed controls from Jonathan Green. Weed controls like corn gluten meal. Get to SIDS for your free customized lawn care plan and make plans to attend one of their free lawn care seminars on Friday or Saturday, April 9th and 10th. Check seminar times at SIDSonline.com. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway, in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road, at Hassert Boulevard.
As with all pests, gnomes can be very difficult to control. It's always best if you can control them when they're quite small. As they get larger, it can become more and more difficult. We have a couple of tools that we use here in the gardens to control some of our pests, especially the gnome. One is called the winged weeder, and we found that very early in the spring, if we can go out and do a little bit of winged weeding, if you will, there's one right there. Pulls them, pops them right out of the ground. Easy to control that way. On occasion, in the fall, we'll go through and do some tilling, some heavy tilling, a little bit like what a rake would do to bring them back up to the surface when they're very small, and hopefully over the winter, it'll destroy them.
You see, you are not getting tips on controlling gnomes on just any radio show in the country, right
here.
One
and only Mike Novak Show.
You know, and that, and by the way, you might have heard that at the beginning of the show, but that's Utah State University. So, you know, it's an institution of higher learning, probably an ag college, and, you know, they know what they're talking about. So I got a couple more gnome tips that I'm going to try to get to you before the end of the day. So I hope you're writing them down.
I am. Diligently.
Actually, I was talking to my audience, but
I can't begin to tell you the plight of the gnome that runs through my suburbia. Something must be done.
Are they rampant?
They are.
Yeah.
You trip over them, they pop out at you when you're going up stairwells.
Boop! Yeah, I've got something like that. Actually, there's one of the segments here is about how they are starting to invade indoor plants. So we'll get to that in a little bit. Jack Pizzo is in the studio. How many gnomes do you run across in ecological restoration on a daily basis?
Actually, nobody allows the gnomes to get out into their woodlands, wetlands, and prairies. And if we do, if I start seeing them, you'll be the first to know.
Please do let me know. You've probably heard Jack's dulcet tones right here on this very radio station. He's got some ads running, which I think is a good thing because folks need to know that your services are available. We are at a point where people are trying to think green and trying to use native plants, but often don't really know where to get started, which leads me to the question. I know you do huge restoration areas, but do you do small ones? Do you handle suburban lots? Do you handle urban lots? How small do you get? I heard you tell the story once about, what was it, a place in Berwyn that you had, a parkway, but way back at the beginning. Is that your story or is that somebody else's story? I don't know.
Well, yes, that's our story, but you probably could be confusing it with all the things that you hear over the years.
I've heard so many stories from you, Jack.
We had – our business was in Cicero for 9 years.
Cicero, right.
And, we took a little bit of Cicero and made it a bioswale and handle stormwater. And, it was just an amazing success.
Let's go back to the question I was asking is that – like I said, I know that you generally do large contracts, but what does the average homeowner have? What do you have to offer the average homeowner?
Well, we're also a native plant nursery, so we have the seeds and the perennials that they need. We can also get all the trees and shrubs or recommend the garden centers that carry those trees and shrubs. What we do and can help the local landscaper is design a sustainable landscape. Because we've got 22 years in business and have experienced, how these native plants work in a landscape setting. Now, every plant is native somewhere, but these just happen to be the plants that evolved here. And so we can tell them that, for example, New England aster, although very beautiful, will literally outcompete everything in their garden and take it over, and choke out all the good stuff that they want. Also, it's designing in things like rain gardens, which are really nothing more than a perennial garden in a divot, to be able to handle the water that comes off of, the downspouts from the roofs. And it helps to get the water to percolate into the ground instead of flowing into the stormwater system, which then adds to the amount of water that everyone has to deal with when creeks and streams start to overflow their banks.
Let's get back to that, the idea of what's native. By the way, that's Jack Pizzo from Pizzo & Associates. It's www.pizzo.info for more information.
And for those of you who don't know how to spell it, that's P-I-Z-Z-O.
Thank right. you. That's also very important. I always spell my name, so it's probably a good idea. And welcome back. Jack has been on the show a number of times with me, both here and in my former incarnation.
Look nice in the reincarnated state, Mike.
Thank you very much. I'm floating above the studio, actually. Yes.
Actually, they buried him in a jar about 10, 20 feet underground and dug him up and put him back on the radio, and he was fresh as a daisy.
Right.
Just like a garden gnome. Let's get back to that question of a native. And I think the New England aster is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. We think of asters as native plants, and you see a lot of people plant the New England aster.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they're doing a native planting, but here in the Midwest, that wouldn't exactly be the case. What range do you consider native? Are you a purist and say it has to be within, 2 square miles, or how broad do you extend that definition of native?
Well, I like the big gene pool theory. I like that the species itself is known to occur in this area, has historical documentation that it occurs in this area. And then also, I like the big gene pool so that we're not just picking from plants that were locally grown, you know, within 5, 10, 15, you know, 50 miles of a particular site where we're storing. They don't have any genetic studies out there yet to say what is native to a particular area by genetics. But we do know species that occurred here. So, for example, Echinacea purpurea, the purple coneflower, known to occur here in the savannas. But the genes would probably have been very, very broad based on the fact that they were pollinated by insects, which would move them around, move that pollen around, move those gene pools around.
So, well, that's interesting, because if you're a big picture guy, doesn't that in effect continue to change the gene pool if you're pulling in plants with the big picture in mind?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does.
Okay.
I mean, there's a big concern out there that we're swamping our local gene pool, which and local is I'm putting in air quotes, because they think, oh, this plant has, you know, slightly more orange petals on this particular species than yellow petals. And we don't know if those orange petals are from what's called inbreeding suppression, which is they have been breeding amongst themselves in such an isolated location because the prairies that were around them that would have allowed the free gene flow are now cornfields or houses. Is that really an expression of what the species looks like, or is it just because their family tree is beginning to look more like a telephone pole than a nice branching structure? So there are several. The Morton Arboretum, the University of Chicago, the Botanic Garden are doing genetic studies on native plants. They just haven't had enough in there to be able to say this is what the species looks like compared to an isolated gene pool.
Okay, since you said that, I have to play this.
Science!
Yes.
It's been the theme of the show today.
It is. I tell you, I give speeches, and one of the things I tell people, I put up a big picture of a beautiful natural area, and I say, there's no such thing as art. It's all science. And that artists are really artistically talented scientists, because you look at Michelangelo, he didn't pick any piece of rock to create David. He picked a particular type of marble, and the marble knew that he could hit it and it would cleave on the right plane, and then it would actually sand down to look like human skin. And that's science. I mean, it's a beautiful piece of art. Or John James Audubon, the beautiful Audubons that you've seen at my house, were meant to be scientific literature, so people could understand what was out there.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't truly artistic, but it looked they're almost photographic in quality, even though they were done in the 1830s and 1840s. Science is something that if you understand it, it is the way to make things beautiful, because good science is beautiful. Now, I'm sure maybe the listeners don't know, but I'm kind of twisted in my upbringing in that I'm the son of a professor of biology. So I didn't get the whole lovey, warm, you know, environmental thing and artistic thing. It was hard science, and I love it because I tell you, it makes the job so much easier. You can make a decision based on good science. Your first guess. Oh, I was just listening to that, and I was just going, oh, my God, yes. Finally, somebody who's out there saying that it's based on good empirical data.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I like her so much. My first guest today, Dr. Linda Chalker-Scott, who's – what did I do with that?
I got it.
You got
I
the book here.
Here?
Yeah. It's written the book Sustainable Landscapes and Gardens, Good Science, Practical Application. And actually putting the show together, I'm thinking, boy – two peas in a pod. You guys are of the same mind, because you have told me over the years, you've given me the various stories about how it is science and how art, really good art, as you just said now, is science. I think there's a lot to be said about that. And neither of you wants to go down the touchy-feely road.
No, and you really don't. It's something that when you look at these natural areas, whether it's you're solving the erosion on a homeowners association pond, or you want to get rid of geese, it's really getting rid of, you know, for example, getting rid of geese is very simply working on the instincts that geese have. Geese think that any vegetation that's taller than about a foot means that predators could hide in there. And you take that instinct and you use it against them because they don't want to be around that vegetation. They love that mowed lawn that's open and visual, and they can see any predator that approaches them. So you're just working on using that science to solve a problem.
And I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask you about that myself. By the way, if anybody's interested in asking a question about native plants, restoration, ecological restoration, you mentioned rain gardens. Give us a call, 773-838-WCPT, 773-838-9278. That's Jack Pizzo, P-I-Z-Z-O, from Pizzo and Associates. I'll get that out. Pizzo.info. I need to take a short break, but I want to ask you about Canada geese. You wrote in your commercial you're running on the station, you talk about the Canada goose problem, and I want to know, why don't we call it Canadian geese? You say Canada goose.
Because they're Canada, it's a Canada goose, and pluralize it as Canada geese. That's very simple.
But they're not Canadian.
They're not Canadian. No, no, they're not. And
I want to blame the Canadians for this. I can't.
I'm sure the Canadians want to blame a whole bunch of things on us too.
They won the gold medal. What more do they want from us?
That's right.
That was the most awesome hockey game of all time.
Which I missed, of course. I missed Earth Hour and I missed the hockey game.
I have that TiVo'd. I can burn you a copy of the hockey game.
Can you really?
Yes, I can.
It was good. It was very
good.
Give
me the last 2 minutes. That's
all you need.
You want the Cliff Notes version, right?
Absolutely.
Just the last 2 minutes?
Yeah. We will return to Jack Pizzo, who is the science guy. That's not the one I wanted. I wanted the other one. Oh, well, I'll get back to that. Yeah, we'll return to Jack Pizzo in a second.
Hey, Barb, how are you? How are David and the kids?
Oh, we're doing great, thanks. You know, work's hectic, and with things being what they are, we decided to do our own lawn maintenance this year. Now, I'm sure we can do it cheaper, probably better, but, oh, I don't know where to start.
You know, last year, Tom and I did the same thing. Oh, with great results.
Really?
I read some advice from a lawn expert that researches... I can't believe it. What? That's him, by the grass seed. Oh. Jonathan Green!
Oh, my friend here told me that you're a lawn expert. Now, I want to do it right the first time. Where do I begin?
To start, choose the best grass seed. For instance, my Black Beauty Ultra is naturally dark green and deeper rooted, so it's very drought tolerant and disease resistant.
Hmm.
Black Beauty Ultra also contains endophytes, which means it's naturally insect-resistant.
Will it match up with my grass?
Yes, and one seeding thickens and improves your entire lawn.
Okay.
Find your nearest dealer at jonathangreen.com.
Insect problems on your plants can start early. Get the jump on them with Bonide's All-Season Spray Oil. The thin film of oil covers the target insect or mite and plugs the spiracles or pores through which it breathes. That's science. It's bad for the insect, but it's good for the environment because then it doesn't affect the soil or water. All-season spray oil is highly recommended for use on fruit trees, shade trees, shrubs, ornamentals, roses, and vegetables. It comes with a convenient applicator that will fit your needs, quart ready to use, quart ready to spray, with a built-in hose and attachment for easy spraying, and a concentrate for those of you who prefer to mix your own. This is the year you're going green, right? Try All Season Spray Oil. You can find it at Pesquazy Home and Gardens in Lake Bluff, Busy Bee Nursery in Glenwood, Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines, or go to bonide.com to find a retailer near you or to see a complete listing of all of Bonide's garden naturals.
Homeowners, why replace your expensive shrubbery every time deer or rabbits visit your property? You can save your plantings for a fraction of the cost with Bob-X. Spring is finally here, and nature's hungry creatures will start feasting on your gardens and landscapes. Stop them the all-natural way with Bob-X repellent sprays. Bob-X guarantees protection for your spring plantings from deer and small animal damage. Use the most effective animal repellents on the market. Bob-X repellent excellence give people the confidence to invest in and enjoy their landscapes. Bob X's unique deterrent ingredients are all natural and are environmentally friendly. Bob X won't wash off in the rain or with regular watering. Get Bob X at your local independent garden center or hardware store. If they don't have it, ask them to get Bob X. To learn more about Bob X, go to BobX.com. That's BobEx.com. Plants thrive and survive with Bob X.
If you think that organics are the new kid on the block, consider this. The Espoma Company has been producing high-quality organic and natural products for more than 8 decades. And they just made growing beautiful plants in containers easier and organic. Introducing the new Espoma Organic Potting Mix. Espoma is the maker of Holly Tone, Plant Tone, and other organic plant foods. If the word tone is in the name, you know it's made by Espoma. Now they make container growing mixes. Espoma's Organic Potting Mix is a blend of only the finest natural ingredients and is fortified with mycotone mycorrhizae. Mycotone promotes root growth and helps grow bigger, better plants with more blooms. Look for all of the new Espoma organic potting mixes at your local garden center this spring. And remember to pick up new Espoma GrowTone, the ideal liquid plant food for all potted plants. For more information about Espoma natural gardening solutions, call 888-ESPOMA1 or visit Espoma.com. That's ESPOMA.com. Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929.
As with all aggressive species, gnomes have a genius method of dispersal. In fact, they've been known to travel 3, 4, up to 5 miles a day. It's been reported that they've even been seen hitchhiking. In their peak populations, they'll gather in small groups and they'll go out in search of food, entertainment, recreation, and most people associate gnomes with the ground. It's a known fact, though, that gnomes can, when hungry enough, move up into the trees. Here you can see a small population that has defoliated this tree. It's just a sad sight.
Science!
You know, I'm having way too much fun today. This is not a good thing. Jack Pizzo is in the studio. He's with Pizzo and Associates. And I should mention that he's going to stick around after 10 o'clock to talk to Ron Cowgill and Joe Builder on Mighty House. So you get a double dip here today.
Double dipping. It's
yeah.
A Chicago way, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. We're going to get to the compost tea thing because you mentioned that during the break. But first, I want to go to line one. And who is it, Heather, that we've got? Paula from Wheaton. Hi, Paula. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi there. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a situation that I don't think is all that uncommon in the western suburbs. Not only do we have the dubious distinction of having the annual 500-year floods, we also get the seepage and rainwater from all our neighbors. We happen to be on low ground. Now, my husband, bless his soul, has dug, without exaggeration, about 6 drainage pits. Yes, we're talking 5-6 feet into the ground all by himself. It still doesn't seem to be working. Help.
That's putting it succinctly.
Oh, by the way, I just put in a quote request for your company. So help.
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm so okay. Glad to hear that. That's. Wait. Are you saying you're doing that now or you've already?
I just did while on hold.
Oh, okay.
Help.
Yes. Well, that's actually, it's very simple. We had close to 2,500 species that would grow here from the high, dry, you know, gravelly, all clay to the bottomlands where it was, the plants were in standing water. And so really what you would do is look for that subset of plants that actually grows in the standing water. During the growing season, they'll thrive with the water that they get, but also plants take up 97% of the water that they take up is used to move the nutrients up to the leaves, and then they release, that 97% and only use 3% in photosynthesis. So actually during the growing season, those plants that are in that gushy soil will actually help dry that out.
Okay.
So that would be the set of plants that you use. You don't need to use and dig any drainage, ditches. What you do is just pick the right set of plants to go in that place. And they're a mix of grasses and flowers. So it could be really beautiful.
So
Go ahead, Paula.
Well, our thing is also, our home is quite a classic colonial, and we want to stay with that type of formal garden. Is that possible?
Absolutely.
I mean, with hedges and...
Absolutely. I mean, it's just picking the right set of plants. Look at, I mean, if you look at boxwood, it's native to somewhere. You look at hosta, they're native to somewhere. You're just picking the plants that will work in that setting of the saturated soils, but also that work well in a landscape setting.
I thought hostas were right up there with box elders as an undesirable plant.
Well, they are, but they're just, they're native to somewhere. So,
okay.
You know, if you were doing a restoration, you know, in China or Japan, where some of the hostas are native to, you would use hosta.
Okay.
But here we just pick that subset that that you would plant with that are native to this part of Illinois.
And then we also want to keep out the most undesirable species known as the mailman who cuts through front lawns.
Here's what. I mean, I'm a real advocate of putting people back into the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing bothers me more than a sign that says, you know, it's a natural area, stay out, because mm-hmm. we're a species that evolved here right along with all these natural areas. Let's give him a path to walk on.
Okay.
Rather than try to fight him, you know, and send the dog out to nip at his behind as he's running across your yard.
Gotcha.
Give him a simple place to you know, an 18-inch wide path to walk on or some steppers.
Okay.
So that's the way we do it. If that's the worst you have to deal with, that's easy.
All right.
So, Paula, are you going to give Pizzo and Associates a call?
Well, I'm waiting for them to give me a call.
Yeah, I just saw it. It came in on my BlackBerry, so yeah, I'll make sure that I forward that. Let's make sure BlackBerry knows they got a plug on the radio.
So,
too.
Yeah. So see, your message went to the top guy.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
On the air. I love how that works.
Yeah. Now, of course, I should tell you my husband's been unemployed 2 years, so please be kind to us.
Oh, this is the nice thing about native plants is that they're actually very cost effective, because with the perennials and the grasses, you're planting them in small containers that are 2 inches in diameter instead of buying gallon containers, because these things, once they get in the ground, man, they just take off. There's no reason to plant that extra large material.
All right. Here's what I'm going to do for you, Paula, since you called and you're ready to work with Jack here. I'm going to give you some stuff. First of all, I'm going to give you a pass to Cantini Gardens, because it's out your way.
I'm sorry. It takes so long. We were just in the hospital last night, so right now if you tell me you're giving me oxygen, I'm thrilled.
And I'm giving you a can of oxygen. And, no, I don't have that here.
Oh,
and let's see. What else? Yeah, you want? How about a $25 gift certificate to SIDS? Would you like that?
You guys are beyond cool.
And let's give her one of those books. What book did you haul out here? It's an older book. Sometimes I collect books.
I love books.
And you're going to get a Time Life Gardener's Guide Designing Your Garden. It's been around, kicking around for a little bit, but I think you'll like it.
You are wonderful. Thank you.
I don't know what to say. All right, you hang.
You are wonderful.
Thank you. All right, you hang on, Paula. Okay.
I will.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. Another satisfied customer. Get right back to you, Jack. All right, now I know you're familiar with Aldo Leopold.
Mm-hmm.
He's considered the father of wildlife ecology. Have you heard this phrase? WRD Environmental quotes this that Aldo Leopold wrote. The outstanding scientific discovery of the 20th century is not television or radio, but rather the complexity of the land organism. Only those who know the most about it can appreciate how little we know about it. The last word in ignorance is the man who says of an animal or plant, what good is it? If the land mechanism as a whole is good, then every part is good, whether we understand it or not. If the biota in the course of eons has built something we like, but do not understand, then who but a fool would discard seemingly useless parts? To keep every cog and wheel is the first precaution of intelligent tinkering.
Boil it down to, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know.
Exactly.
And that's the fun part about this. That's why I still, after 22 years of being in business, I still love going out to the sites, whether we've worked on them or it's a new site or it's a public site. I love seeing the process of restoration, because the invasive species here, buckthorn, is not a bad plant. It's just a bad plant here. It's a plant out of place, so it's a weed. In China, it is an integral part of a Chinese ecosystem.
There you go.
So,
At WRD Environmental, who provided that quote, launched Jack there, they not only appreciate the complexity of our region's ecology, but are dedicated to protecting, restoring, and healing it. They do a lot of the same kind of work that you do. WRD creates sustainable landscapes from large-scale master planning to community pocket parks. For innovative, sustainable landscape development, choose WRD Environmental, located at the Chicago Center for Green Technology and online at WRDEnvironmental.com. And before we get out of here, and don't forget that Jack and I are coming back right after 10 o'clock, because I still have to ask you the compost tea question.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be on Mighty House to start the show. It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, and the bell rings right at Dr. Wally's Tip of the... How does that phone ring? I thought that didn't...
Mike Novak Show?
I'm doing Dr. Wally's Tip. It's brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Of course, Wally Schmidtke is not really a doctor, but he works at Pesci's. He's kind of a gardening genius, and sometimes he watches Grey's Anatomy. Anyway, it's time to clean up your planting beds, sterilize your pruners with bleach or rubbing alcohol. Actually, what I've heard lately is rubbing alcohol or maybe even a hand sanitizer. Have you heard using that? What do you guys use to clean your tools?
Well, actually, we don't. That's because we like all living organisms, and usually you want to make sure that you're not sanitizing to the point that making it available for something that's really pathogenic. You want to make sure there's lots of competition out there. In the garden setting, though, yeah, you do want to make sure you sanitize your pruners.
Especially if you've got diseases that you could pass along. Now, you need to cut your ornamental grasses back to 4 inches, cut off dry perennial stems to soil level, rake out plant debris. Be careful, because if the ground is still a little soft, you don't want to compact it. Compost material if plants were disease and insect free in the fall. Then work in some of Back to Nature's flower bed conditioner by Back to Nature Compost. They're a great sponsor on the show too. That's the kind of information you're going to get from Pesci's in Des Plaines, from Dr. Wally. They're family owned since 1924, where you'll find the best selection and prices guaranteed. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off 294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online at Pesci's.com, P-E-S-C-H-E-S.com. Pesci's, 3 generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. All right, yeah, we're getting to the end here, but like I said, I hope if you're listening, you stick around after CNN News. Mighty House starts at 10 o'clock. Ron Cowgill and Joe Builder are in the building. I've seen them. And Jack Pizzo and I, I got to move out of the seat. You can stay in that seat. I'm the one that's got to move around. And we will continue our discussion, because what I want to bring in Ron and Joe is talk about the home improvement side of restoration ecology and how it affects, I guess, hardscape. You know, talking about that sort of thing. I mean, you were talking to Paula about some hardscape solutions for her problem, and I guess you guys deal with that as well to some degree, right? So that's next. I'm Mike Novak, and I'm going to be back next Sunday on Easter Sunday. I'm here. I'm working. You're working too, Heather. But I'll let you go early, because I know you got a big Easter egg hunt then with William, right? She's nodding, yeah, as she's dragging all the stuff out of here. So we'll be back next week. Have a great Palm Sunday, and I hope you tune in next week to the Mike Novak Show.